see everybody. It's nice to get some of this. You know, I love California. I love living out there, but it's nice to come back east. You know, I'm originally from. Oh, this is a good town. I love it here. I had some. So far, I've been having some really good food. Nice restaurant. Some great seafood. You can't get any better than that. But it's nice to come and have some of this good East Coast energy.
Woohoo!
So thank you for having me here. Yesterday I was just listening to the way people talk back at East here. It's so different from California. You know, the New York accents, you know, Boston accents, Rhode Island accents. But anyway, it's great being here. And I really looked forward to coming here, so it's been very nice. And I sound like I really don't know what to say, but actually, I don't. But anyway,
do you want me to interject here? Is that my cue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
So, I'm going to ask the first question. This will give you guys a chance to get lined up for the thinking cap questions. So, you guys all just saw a very small glimpse of Billy's 50 plus years in Hollywood. But what a lot of people don't know is that he's not only an amazing actor, he's also an award-winning artist. So I'd like to start Q&As off with Billy telling a little bit to the audience about his artwork and how he got started. So Billy, share your art.
You know, I grew up, as I said, I grew up in New York City. And I went to a school called Music and Art High School. And from Music and Art High School, I went to, I got a scholarship to a school called the National Academy of Design for the Fine Arts, where I spent 2 years on the scholarship painting, and I thought I did something. I spent 2 years at the academy painting. I've been painting all my life, actually, and I exhibited quite a few places. I still have some paintings being shown in Toronto right now, at the Brian List Gallery. There's a gallery in Miami showing some of the stuff. But I have the Smithsonian owns one of my pieces. The Schoenberg in New York owns a piece. The Kansas City Jazz Museum owns a piece. And so it's been very much a part of my life. It's a wonderful way to express oneself, you know, and not collectively, but, you know, in movies and stage work, it's all sort of a collective effort, but it's nice to sort of sit in a room by yourself and just kind of express yourself in your own very, in a personal way. So it gives me a lot of joy. But anyway, that's sort of a encapsulated version of my life as a painter.
And if you guys want to see some of his artwork, if you go to billydwilliams.com, you can see some of it. And we actually have one lithograph down at his autograph table of a piece that he did based on The Empire Strikes Back. So if you want to come and look at it, no pressure to buy, but you should. You can come and take a look. So is my water in the right position, by the way? I don't want to upset anybody. No? Okay. So let's start with you. What's your name and question, sir? Hey,
my name's Tony. But now I actually gonna ask the question I was supposed to ask you the first time. Can you give us anything about any information about Bingo Long and the Traveling Ball Stars?
Okay, well, by the way, you know, I'm doing Code 45 again. As far as the Bingo Long, who's gonna hit my invite pitch? That was a lot of fun. That was about the Negro Leagues back in the 1930s and 40s. But that was a lot of fun to do, because a lot of the guys that we worked with were actual ball players from that period. And interestingly enough, you know, there was that one scene where we were driving down the road and they were throwing the ball on the ground and having it bounce back. You know, today they would use CGI for that sort of thing, but these guys were actually doing that stuff. So it was pretty fascinating for me. And then we got, you know, I'm not from the South, so I don't know much about, I mean, particularly at that time, I didn't know very much about the South. We were down there in Georgia. And so it was interesting for me. First of all, I loved the experience of Georgia because of the red clay. Because I had, there was a wonderful writer and poet by the name of Gene Toomer. I remember as a kid reading stories about his impressions of the Georgia red clay and the frogs, the bullfrogs. And so anyway, I got a chance to experience that whole thing down there. But anyway, it was a formidable experience. I really enjoyed doing that movie. It's a fun movie.
It was. It had a great cast too.
Oh yeah, it was a great cast. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Let's go on this side. What's your name and question, sweetheart?
My name is Cecilia. I'm in love with you.
Thank you.
And I just turned 50 years old. And I wanted to ask you, would you do one thing for me for my birthday? And that's that line that you said to the lady sings the blues. Do you want my hand?
You want my arm to fall off?
Is your birthday today?
It was November 1st. Well, happy birthday.
Can I shake your hand, please, for my birthday? I just only turned 51, so I'm not gonna bite you.
Of course.
Just be careful coming up the stage. Okay, this is the only person coming on stage today, by the way. No more birthdays. Right. We're going to come over to this side.
Hi, my name is Jordan. Earlier you created a film called The Big Come Down.
The Final Come Down.
Oh, the first one I have to change the title to The Big, but Final Come Down. Do you think the message in that resonates today more than ever with all the divisions in the country?
Well, I don't know. I really don't remember that much about it. It was a long, long time ago. It's over about 45 years ago, I think. What was it? It's sort of revolutionary kind of a movie?
Yeah, you were a social leader in the ghettos, and everything kept getting worse and worse.
I guess it resonates. I don't know. Things are not so bad now. Everybody thinks everybody needs to, I think, in my opinion, just relax and let things happen and see how things unfold. To want everything to happen very quickly. And we're very fortunate in this country in many, many, many ways. We just don't sometimes, I think, really realize it. And I've traveled around the world a little bit, and I can tell you, this is the best bet in town.
It was a great performance, by the way.
All right, thank you.
Sweet, yes. Yes.
Me?
Your turn. Yeah, it's your turn.
Why did you lose the Millennium Falcon to Han Solo?
You asked why did he lose the Millennium Falcon to Han Solo?
Oh, because Han Solo, we were gambling and he won it from me.
He cheated.
He's a good gambler. We're a bad gambler.
That just means that Lando's a bad gambler. Would you agree? No? Do you want another question?
He's wonderful.
What's your name? Just because I'm going to put you on the possible winning list. We've never been asked how bad Lando is as a gambler. It's a good question.
Alan J.
Alan J. Okay, we'll put you on here. We'll see if you win. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Derek, and when you did Bingo Long, did you guys have to do any kind of special training, physical training exercises? Did you play any real baseball games?
I played baseball when I was a kid. But yeah, we went into training. It was pretty rough, you know, trying to learn how to be a pitcher. I found out a lot depends on climate and things of that nature. It's not just a physical thing, but it's also a thing that it's a question of adapting. But yeah, I went into training with it, yeah.
Excellent, over here, yes.
My name is David, and I was curious. Recently, Donald Glover was cast to be a young Lando in this young Han Solo movie. I was curious about how you felt he fit the role, and like how you feel about his music, if you've ever heard it, and that kind of stuff.
I never think of anybody else but me playing Lando. Thoughts about it, but I understand he's a pretty formidable kid. I mean, he's done some really interesting things. I don't really know who he is, actually. But, no, I don't mean that in a negative way. But because I don't keep up with actors, I don't really like actors, to tell you the truth. But I wish him well.
Thank you. That was a good question.
Never be a Billy D. Williams.
Yeah. If you don't like actors, how do you live with yourself?
That is very difficult. Difficile.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name's Maria. I was kind of curious, with the new movies coming back and kind of going off of what you just said now about how you're kind of the only real Lando, do you think there's a possibility of you coming back for the new movies to be in like a reoccurring character, especially considering what happened in the last movie? I don't want to spoil for anybody who hasn't seen it, but maybe
everybody knows Han Solo died. Get over
it. I was trying to be nice. Maybe like Chewbacca's new partner in crime, or
I have no idea. I really have nothing to say about it or report. Probably, though, Harrison probably was very happy to not do it anymore. He probably arranged for his death, the character's death. But anyway, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think much about it, to tell you the truth.
I think you're right that he probably did do it, because he wanted to die in Empire, and George wouldn't let him. Did you know that?
I think he told me that once.
Yeah. So, here, let's do this. We started this campaign about 3 years ago at DragonCon. Everybody tweets in the room, right? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Hashtag bring back Lando. Yeah. And then, yes. And then his Twitter account is @realBDW. So the more people we get to do that, they haven't filmed number 9 yet, so let's get him in there. Right?
Right.
Do you want to see him in the new movie? You? Am I over here or over here? Over there? Okay, go ahead.
My name is Seth. We saw, before you came up, a set of times that you've reprised your role as Lando. How was it reprising your role in the Lego movie, and do you know if your character will be returning for any future forms of the Lego movie?
Well, yeah, I just finished doing a Lego thing, but that was for Batman, for Harvey Dent. But I enjoy doing those, so they're always asking me to do those. It's a lot of fun for me, you know, and Rebels, and I'm in Marvel Comics, so it's all fun.
I look forward to seeing you in the theater then.
Okay.
We need to update the reel, because we need to get that Lego stuff on there. Here, I'll tell you guys a funny story. You know, that Billy did the voice for Lando in the Lego movie as well as the Lego cartoons, the Yoda Chronicles, right? So what was funny was I didn't know he was in the movie, and my friends and I went to see the Lego movie, and we're like, damn, it's Billy! So I was texting, and I said, did you know you're in the Lego movie? And he went, I am? Because he didn't realize he was recording the lines for the film. He thought it was for the TV show. So it was pretty, so it was pretty sweet. What's your name, buddy, and your question?
I'm Noah. My question is, what are your expectations for the new Star Wars movies to come?
I don't have any real expectations. I'm looking forward to this new one. I like the last one that they did. It was very well done, I thought, very entertaining. So this one that's coming up, I think, in December?
Yeah, Rogue One.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Just, like everybody else.
What about you? What's your expectations?
I think it's going to be great. I hope it's going to be great. If it's not good, then I'm still going to keep watching all the movies. But it's not going to be not good, it's going to be amazing.
That's exactly what they want you to do. Even if it sucks, keep giving them your money, buddy. Do you buy toys?
I'm 13, no.
How many 30-year-olds in the audience buy toys? Turn around, buddy, look. 30 plus? How many 60-year-olds buy toys?
Hello.
Okay, Noah, three people that are 60 buy toys. When you're 60, you can stop buying. I like you. I'm going to put you on the list, too. Noah doesn't buy toys. Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Noah.
Hi, my name is Reese. I was wondering... Lando wore a magnificent cape, and I was wondering if you would start a revolution to try and bring the cape back into fashion.
Yes! Not really. But for that character, that was the key to my character. I thought, you know, when I first saw that cape, I thought, yeah, that's a real swashbuckling kind of character. And so that was a pivotal part of creating that character for me, the cape.
I would imagine that some of your Rico Suave attitude had something to do with the character as well, not just the cape.
I'm a pretty suave guy.
You know, I think we have...
Sometimes.
I think we have a clip of you being extra suave, so why don't we take a look at that, and we'll see what we're talking about here. So.
Oh, that was a lead-in.
Yeah, there you go. Roll it.
Man doesn't have people that can fix him.
No, thanks.
Sorry, am I interrupting anything?
Not really.
You look absolutely beautiful. You truly belong here with us. Would you join me for a little refreshment? Everyone's invited, of course. Having trouble with your droid?
No. No problem. Why?
That cape was working wonders on there, though.
Absolutely.
It was the worst.
Works.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Angela. I want to ask about your work with the Rebels cartoon and how it was going from playing Lando in live action to voice work, and if you were impressed with the show being able to capture your sexy, suave self.
I thank you for the compliment. Well, I don't know what to say about all that.
You're pretty. Sit down.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Matthew Williams, no relation. Bingo Long All-Star Show, you co-starred with James Earl Jones. Now, 2 years later, you're cast in Empire Strikes Back. Did he, you know, come and ask or talk with you about the ability to work in that film?
No, I you know, when he did it, we weren't working together or at the same time. So it was all pieced together in different times, whatever the hell I'm trying to say here. But anyway, we never talked about it, no.
All right, no influence, okay.
No.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name's Vinny. So, what was your first reaction when you first got onto the set of Star Wars?
Well, I just thought it was really fascinating to see all that, the set and all of the Millennium Falcon and all of the things that they use. Because, you know, a lot of it, at that time, it was sort of pre-CGI. So that you had actual, an actual Millennium Falcon. So it was pretty fascinating, but it was also fascinating because I got a chance to see a lot of the kids who were involved with computers and who were behind the scenes. And so it was interesting from that perspective, from that point of view, to see, you know, other people working on it outside of the actors, people who are on camera.
Yes, over here.
Hi, Jason. Mine's like a two-part question. I was wondering, of all the work you've done, what would you say is your most favorite one part that you've ever played?
Well, I've done a lot of good, interesting characters, and one thing I'm always happy is that people remember the characters. You know, a lot of the characters I've done, you know, I've sort of made my characters indelible. But I don't know, I've done so many characters, and you know, I think I've done over 100 movies in my career, and I've been doing it for a long time. But this is some of the things I've done on stage. I really enjoyed, you know, like Martin Luther King, I played that and on Broadway for a while. And, there was one character, I played a jazz musician in a movie I did in Canada called Giant Steps. Nobody ever heard of it actually, but it didn't do anything. But he was one of my favorite characters. That I played. I always wanted to play a jazz musician. I love jazz. So this was a good character. But anyway, I don't know. A lot of.
My second part was, which project did you like the least?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I just do, you know, I do the work, and I'm the kind of person, I go to work, make my money, and go home. You know. It's as simple as that, really. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. You know, I just do it, and I'm gone to doing the next thing, whatever that is.
That's a good work ethic. We should all do that. I'm gonna go home now, thanks. Billy, tell everybody how you got into show business, because it's a cute little story.
Say what?
Tell everybody how you got into show business.
Oh, well, I got into show business, I was 6 and a half years old, and in a Broadway musical called The Firebrand of Florence. It was, I don't know if anybody knows who Kurt Weill is. Kurt Weill wrote Three Penny Opera with Bertolt Brecht. Back in those years, and I was on stage with his wife, La Helena. But how I got on, my mother got me into show business. She had me audition, and they had me walk across the stage one time, and I did it two times, and then they said, "Thank you, Billy. That's very nice," and I wanted to do it the third time, so they said, "No, that's okay. You don't need to do that." Well, I started crying, and so I always say I cried my way into show business.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Victor. Who are some of your favorite filmmakers or directors that you've worked with over the years?
Well, working with Irv Kirshner certainly was a high moment in my life. He was a wonderful man, one of the most creative directors in the industry has ever produced. Buzz Kulick when I did Brian Song, was a really wonderful director. Tony Richardson when I did A Taste of Honey on Broadway with Laurence Olivier's wife, with Joan Plowright. There are quite a few interesting people that I've worked with. You know, Sidney Fury and Lady Sings the Blues, and also we did a movie called Hit, which was sort of a breakthrough kind of movie at the time.
Sweet. Thank you. Hi, Lando.
Hey, my name is Jack, and this is weird because it's not a Star Wars question, even though I am dressed as Lando, but did you actually enjoy the taste of Colt 45?
Do I like the taste of Colt 45?
Yeah,
I'm doing it again, as a matter of fact, you know, for Pabst Blue Ribbon. So, you know, so it's a good beer. But most American beers are pretty good, I think, you know, but that's a good beer.
I wouldn't know, I'm 13.
Take his word for it. Does it really work every time?
Yes, it works every time. Don't let the smooth taste fool you.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Austin. From your entire artistic acting, be it in film or on Broadway, all of your careers as an artist or actor, what would you say you would want your legacy to be? Not necessarily what was most successful, but if you could choose something to become what you are remembered for, what would you want it to be?
Well, you know, the one thing I pride myself on is that you know, I think, as I said earlier, I've managed to make my characters memorable. And and that's because when I approach any situation, even with my painting, I don't approach it, I don't limit myself to some idea of what people think I should be. I sort of leave it open for my... I try to create my own point of view, and, you know, and I try to really stay away from politicizing anything that I do. I just I've led a very eclectic life, so that's how I seem to want to approach everything in my life, in a way that doesn't limit me to some idea that somebody thinks I should be. I'm always looking to create my own point of view, and I always say it's like I want to create my own unique approach, point of view. Like each one of us, as individuals, have something unique to present or to offer, and so that's how I tend to go about my creative life.
Alright. So you want to be remembered as Billy Dee Williams, then?
Right. And Billy Dee, you know, for me, I've always approached it as myself as a brand. I think that you get more longevity that way.
Alright.
I mean, to me, it's one thing to be number one, but number one comes and goes, but to be first is historical.
I'm Tolly. I'm 13, and I do buy toys. A lot of them. I spend a lot of my money on them. Probably not a good thing. So my question is, so you portrayed Lando in Rebels, as Angela mentioned, and stole part of my question. Do you know if Lando is going to come back in Rebels?
I know if he's going to come back? Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah.
Because we saw the Millennium Falcon in it.
Hmm?
The Millennium Falcon's going to be in it, actually tonight, I think. Yeah.
Right.
So, are we going to see Lando getting the Millennium Falcon from these kids?
I don't know. Depends on the writers.
You'll have to tune in and watch.
I already do.
Okay. Hi. Do you buy toys?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I'm Max, and how did a robot chicken get in touch with you so you could do
that cameo for the Star Wars episode?
Well, they always call me up to do these little things, so I'm always willing to do it, especially when it comes to the animation and stuff of that nature. They just call me up and ask me to do it. And I guess everybody sort of, the whole Lando Calrissian experience has become such, so much of a part of me that I get a lot of people asking me to replicate or do things like that.
Yes. And you like working with Seth Green a lot.
Yeah, Seth Green, he's a nice kid. I really like him. And he's like one of my sons.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Tatiana Viveras, and I have a quick question. My friends and I have this theory that you could come back to the Star Wars and actually be Finn's father. Could that be true?
Are you Finn's father? No.
It's just a theory.
Hey. Hi, my name is Tyler. This is Brian. This is Natalie. I really don't have a question, but my brother does.
You should take him everywhere you go, man.
Hi, we're all very big fans of Star Wars and Batman, and so I was wondering, like, why you play Harvey Dent, but you never got to Two-Face, like.
Yeah, well, I think Sony bought the rights to that Batman at the time, and they decided to take a different direction.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, yes, we have 5 minutes to go. Excellent.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I do drink Colt 45. My question for you was, with your movies and roles being so versatile, what is your favorite type of genre to perform in?
Genre?
Yes. Do you Broadway, comedy, drama?
Oh, all of it. You know, I enjoy doing stage. I spent a lot of time doing stage. Film, I love film, television.
And you're great in everything that you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, I'm Alex. My question is, have you ever considered shaving a mustache but then decided against it because it would ruin your image?
I'm full of shaving my mustache off many times.
You have. But it is such a part of you, I can't. It's hard. Yeah, you have.
It's not always there. I get bored looking at myself sometimes.
I am so Googling Billy D with no mustache. No one. Blanking on what it looks like. Do you think he would still be as good looking?
Probably.
Probably, yeah. Sweet. Thank you.
My name is Sean. My question is, what was your reaction when, spoiler alert, Luke found out Darth Vader was his father?
Spoiler?
I don't know. I don't remember really having any particular reaction. I like everybody, I guess. It was interesting, fun, and it was cool.
What was your reaction?
Well, I found out before I saw the movies, so. Yeah, that was a depressing moment for me.
Oh, man. How old are you?
I'm 15.
Have you seen them all now?
Yes.
Okay, so you know that Yoda is actually Luke's father and not Darth Vader, right?
No, I did not know that.
You need to see the extra edition special cut that Disney released last week.
Does that actually exist?
Go find out. And then call us and let us know how it was. 555. Yes, sir.
Hi. Unlike most people in this dimension, I have seen a mustacheless Billy Dee Williams. There was a film in 1959 that you did, the Last Angry Man, I think it was.
Right, yes.
With Paul Mooney, Godfrey Cambridge, and David Wayne.
Luther Adler.
Yeah. Yes, Luther Adler. I know Paul Mooney was a very huge, on the New York stage. I was wondering, how did you, I know you had a pretty big part in that film, so what was it like working on that film so early in your career and getting to meet a legend, several legends, now Luther Adler? And...
Well, I was only about 20 years old at the time, and it was a very big moment in my life. It was my very first movie, and certainly working with people of that caliber, like Mooney. Mooney was a really wonderful, crazy man. Wild Man, and that was his last movie, and that was my first movie before he passed away. But he said, well, in case anybody that, he was the first Scarface on the screen. He also played Louis Pasteur and played Emile Zola, but he was certainly one of the really, truly great actors. A wonderful human being, but that was a very special time for me. But I never really auditioned for that. Actually, the way I auditioned was that the director called me in over at Columbia Pictures, and we sat in this big room, this conference room, and we just sat and talked. And he just said to me, "I want you to play Josh Quincy." So that's how I got that job. I don't like auditioning, so it's great.
Great question. I think we have time for one more question. So we're going to have it over here, so I'll ask you guys to sit down. I am sorry. But you don't have to be shy. If you didn't get your question answered, you can come down to the autograph area. There's no pressure to buy anything, and you can ask your question there, and Billy will be more than happy to answer it. So the pressure is on, young lady. You have the last question of the day.
Thank you. It's actually a two-part question, one for my husband and one for me. One for my husband was, and my name is Marie, by the way. The one for my husband is, he was a big, he's a big football fan, big Bears fan, and he was very impressed that we were going to be seeing you today because of the Gale Sayers and Brian song. Did you get to meet Gale Sayers, and did you spend a lot of time with him knowing that you were going to be playing him?
We've become good friends. But I didn't have to spend a lot of time with Gale. I feel that whole situation was an act of love. That's how I described that experience. It was meant to be. But I used to spend a lot of time observing Gale, trying to pick up idiosyncrasies and stuff like that. And he would always watch me to see what I was doing with his character. And so we always had this kind of furtive kind of, I didn't want him to see me looking at him, and he didn't want me to see him looking at me. It was almost like that. But we were always observing each other, and I always felt like I really didn't need, because we were so much alike, very people who are very sort of introspective, and I was at that time in my life much more introspective than I am now. I'm a little bit more open, but so I really kind of understood a lot about his character. So it was, but that whole, as I said, that whole experience was really a very special moment in my life.
So at the end of the day, would you say he was pleased with your performance?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Thank you. So, Alan Jay, are you still here? You are. Excellent. Is that your dad? Hey, I'm gonna give you the mustache, the disguise kit, because your question was awesome. So I need Dad to bring you down to Billy's signing area, and you don't have to wait in line. Just go through the VIP section, wave at me if the red shirts try to give you a hard time, and we're gonna give that to you. So thanks for your question, Alan. Thanks to the tech guys, you are amazing. Rhode Island Comic Con, thanks for having us. Make them feel the love!